Hi, welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. In this MVA course, I will discuss about the fundamentals of SQL and how you can use it with Microsoft's relational database management system called Microsoft SQL Server. But before we begin with the course, I would like to introduce to you myself. I am Glenn Gamboa, and I have been using SQL Server since version 6. I am also an SQL Server MVP awardee for 8 years now, and hopefully I will still be able to continue my work for SQL Server in the years to come. Aside from being an SQL Server user, I have been an applications developer for quite some time, specializing on systems for the academic sector. With this, I found GSoft Solutions Incorporated to develop solutions for the schools, all of which are now sitting on top of SQL Server for many years. Lastly, my passion for SQL Server has led me to co-found the Philippine SQL Server Users Group. So, okay, how do we go about this MVA course? Our coverage for this session will be mostly about the fundamentals surrounding SQL, the basic concepts, the tools, and we will also have a series of SQL programming exercises. At the end of this course, we will be equipped with the basic understanding about what SQL is, and we will also get some basic working knowledge on how to use structured query language in Microsoft SQL Server. So what is SQL? SQL, or structured query language, is used to communicate with a database. It is the standard programming language for RDBMSs, which stands for Relational Database Management Systems. Here are some historical facts about SQL. SQL was one of the first languages that was intended for relational modeling, which was designed by the father of relational modeling, whom we have probably heard or known in our database classes. He was the late computer scientist Edgar F. Codd, often called E.F. Codd. Structured query language first appeared in the early 70s, and it was designed by Donald Chamberlain and Raymond Boyce. It became a standard of ANSI, or American National Standards Institute, in 1986. And since then, continuous revisions and enhancements were made, and the last to have evolved was released sometime in 2011. It is obvious that the SQL we know today is kind of old. However, it is still going strong and still considered as one of the most powerful languages that deals with data when it comes to relational databases. Still, a lot of us today use SQL, and for every relational database deployed out there, SQL is definitely used in one way or another. For as long as relational databases are used, SQL will always be in the top of the list when it comes to communicating with databases. It still is probably the fastest and the easiest language to learn. So what about TSQL? TSQL is basically Microsoft's implementation of the SQL programming language. It is officially referred to as TransactSQL. It is the standard programming language for Microsoft's popular RDBMS called Microsoft SQL Server. As mentioned earlier, SQL is used as a means to communicate with the database. And for those who are just starting on databases, a database is structure of structured set of data stored in computers and accessed in various ways. In this course, a database will mean as an SQL-based database, which is managed in Microsoft's RDBMS called Microsoft SQL Server. The communication done to a database, as I mentioned earlier, is via query. In Microsoft SQL Server, every T-SQL code, or often referred to as a statement or query, queries mostly deal with object creation, data manipulation, and extraction. Further, a query can be written and can be saved in a text file format. In the following exercises, we will use SSMS to write queries. At this point, I would assume that we have already installed Microsoft SQL Server in our machines. If you have not done so by this time, open up your browser and go to Bing or any search engine and search on how to install Microsoft's SQL Server. Definitely, there would be a lot of information that you can get on the web regarding installing SQL Server. Before we proceed to the actual programming exercises, I'd like to give you some bird's eye view about what we are trying to accomplish. First, I will introduce to you Microsoft SQL Server tool, popularly called as SQL Server Management Studio, often referred to as SSMS. Then in this course, we'll try to build a sales database, and I am hoping this should not need further explanation, but I will try to keep the structure of our sales database as simple as possible so you can follow. In this sales database, we will try to construct it in the objects we need using Transact SQL in SSMS. Further, we will do some data insertions, extractions, and a handful of manipulations in this database. There are various ways to run SSMS depending on which version of SQL Server and Windows you are using. You can check out the web to find out how. In my case, I'm running Windows Server 2012. So I simply press Win key plus S, then type SQL. You see in there, SQL Server Management Studio. Click on that one. It'll show you a dialog box. Connect to server. On the server name, choose which instance of SQL Server you're trying to connect. Type it here, localhost, click connect, and there you have it. You are now connected to localhost instance of SQL Server. Okay, here we go. We are about to write our first Transact SQL code. To do this, click on the new query or press Ctrl N in SSMS. Click here, new query. Then it will open up a code editor. In here, we will write our first Transact SQL code. There. Let's try to erase this one. For our first Transact SQL code, let us create our database. As I said earlier, we will create a sales database. Let us name it sales. To do this, we type on our code editor, create
database, sales. Here are the command, create database, and the gray colored font is the name of our database. To execute the code, click execute or press F5. In here you will see the message, commands completed successfully. Now let us check if our database has been created. To do this, let us expand our database folder, databases folder on the Object Explorer pane is in SSMS, so it's right here. Click this one. So here we can see that we have a sales database. To work on our sales database, we make sure that it is the currently selected database. First, we check what is the currently selected database. If we go here, our currently selected database is master. To change our currently selected database to sales, we create another code. To create a code, we click new query or press Ctrl N. We type our code, use sales to change our database, our currently selected database from master to sales. Click execute or press F5. Once again, our command has completed successfully. Now if we notice, the currently selected database is now sales. After we have selected sales as our selected database, we now set sales database to any further SQL command. Okay, as we have just created the database, let us try to check what is inside of our sales database. To check, we can expand our sales database, like here. Expand, click. Let's try to see. We can see here that there's no tables, there's no views. There are no database diagrams. There are no stored procedures. Essentially, what we have just created is a blank sales database. So what we do next is to create a table inside our sales database. This time, we create a table salesperson to contain data for individual salesperson. To do this, we type the following code. Instead of just creating a new query, we can use the existing one that we have just written. So we edit this one, use sales, we add a new code, we type in here create table salesperson. We create a salesperson ID. We declare this field or salesperson ID as type integer. We create our second field, which is first name. We make this one as variable character, varchar, with the length of 50. Next, we have a last name. Varchar 50. The last field that we are going to add is gender. We specify it as a single character, char 1. Then we execute the query. Type here, I'll click this one, execute. Again, our command completed successfully. To verify if we have created our salesperson table, we go here to the sales database. In the tables folder, we'll try to refresh this one. Notice when salesperson table will appear. There you go. You have here salesperson table. We can check the fields that we have just created for salesperson table. Expand this one. We have here columns. We also call fields as columns in SQL Server. We expand this one. So we have here salesperson ID. As we have type, it is of type integer. For first name, we have varchar 50. For last name, we have varchar 50. And gender for character 1. Notice that all of the columns that we have created have an indicator here which says null. It means that we can enter null values for each field that we're going to enter in the salesperson table. So that's basically it. We have just created our salesperson table. Okay, so we've just learned how to create a table inside the DB. Now, I'm gonna show you how to insert data into a table. So to do that, you have to create a new query. So let's try to click new query here. Okay, then we'll type use sales. Then I'm gonna show you the query on how to insert a row of values into a table. So it's insert into salesperson. Specify all the fields or column, sales person ID, first name, last name, gender, okay. We specify all the values that we are about to insert. Bill,
Okay, let's specify the last name, Gates, and then Bill Gates, gender, M. Okay, let's try to execute this one. Okay, for us to check if we have successfully inserted these values to salesperson table, let's try to create a new query. I'll click on this one. Then I'll type in here, select asterisk from sales person. Execute. There we go. So we have here a result specifying that we have a single row for salesperson table. So we have a value of 1 under salesperson ID. We have Bill under first name. We have Gates under last name, and M for gender. Okay, let's try to go back to our previous query. With this query, we can also insert multiple values instead of just having one row here. So to do that, I'll try to modify our existing query. So I'll add more values. Okay, I'll edit this one. 2, Steve, Jobs, M. Okay, so notice that now I'm specifying 2 rows. Of values. So Marisa, we have here Mayor, specify gender, oops, Marisa Mayor is, I think, the CEO of Yahoo, if I'm not mistaken. 4, we have Mark Zuckerberg and M. Okay, so what we have here is we are about to insert 3 rows of values. We have Steve, Marisa, and Mark into our table, which is salesperson, which have the following fields or columns: salesperson ID, first name, last name, gender. Let's try to execute this one. Execute. Okay, so what we have here is that 3 rows have been inserted. Okay, again, we'll try to check if our insertion was successful. Let's go back to our previous query. Let's try to rerun this again. Notice that currently we already have a single row inside salesperson. If we execute this one, there we go. We have 4 rows of values, set of values. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 from Bill to Mark. Okay. What we have just done was we extracted a set of rows from our salesperson table. The statement that we have, which is select asterisk from salesperson, means that we are telling SQL Server to get us all rows of data from salesperson table. And the asterisk tells us to also get all the columns or fields for each row. Okay, what I will show you next is how to extract certain rows of data from our salesperson table instead of getting all the rows. Okay, for example, how would our query look like if we wanted to get all the rows where genders are equal to letter M? So let's try to modify this one. Okay, where gender equal to M. Okay, here we add the code that will enable us to extract data based on certain conditions. As you can see, I added where specifying that gender equal to M. Execute this one. Okay, so we have three rows here. Notice that the record of Marisa Mayer hasn't been included in the results. So that's basically it. The code is pretty simple. Let us also try to modify our query to see other ways of extracting data from our table. For example, what if we wanted to only get any of the two rows of any record where gender is M? What if we also want to only display the last name and gender for each row? Let us try to modify our code. Let us add a new code top 2. This specifies our requirement to only show two rows as long as gender field is equal to M. Also, instead of using asterisk, we explicitly specify now the fields that we want to display. We have here, we want last name, we specified here last name and gender. Okay. In this query, we probably don't need to display the last name and salesperson ID, so we haven't included them. Let's try to execute this one. Okay. We now have fields we wanted, last name and gender, and the result showed only two rows. Let us also try to change data of a certain row in a table. Let us try to create a new query for this. For example, we wanted to change Bill Gates' nickname to his real name. To do that, we will be replacing the value of Bill's first name from Bill to William Henry. Let us see how we do that in a query. So we type in here, update salesperson set first name equal to William Henry. Where first name is equal to Bill and last name
to Gates. Let's try to execute this one. Okay, it says here one row is affected. To check if this change was successful, let us try to show once again all the rows. So instead of opening up a new query, we type here select asterisk from salesperson. Let's try to mark only this query. We only mark this portion of the code for execution in SSMS. We are telling SSMS here to only run the marked code. Let's try to execute this one. Okay, there. We have successfully changed Bill's first name from Bill to William Henry. How about deleting rows of data? For example, we want to delete a salesperson with the first name Steve and with the gender M. We know that based from the content of our table that we have a single record that qualifies for that certain criteria. So let us see how the query would look like. I'll create a new query here. So type delete from UC IntelliSense is working here as I type delete from salesperson where first name. So IntelliSense is working here. So instead of memorizing all the names of our tables and fields, we instead just choose it from the prompt. Okay, where first name is equal to Steve and gender equal to M. Before we execute, we also include here the code to see if our deletion is successful. We include this code here so it is also executed right after the query for deletion is done. Running multiple queries in a batch would definitely be faster. So type in here select asterisk from salesperson. Execute. Here we see that Steve Jobs' record is now gone. Okay, let us try to create our second table. This should be pretty okay, pretty easy by now since we have done our first table earlier. So I'll create a new query for that. New query. Use sales. Create table. Sales. Transaction. Transaction number. I'll declare it as integer. Sales person ID. In
Notice salesperson ID. If you can remember, the salesperson also has the same column or field in the sales transaction table. It denotes the ID of the salesperson where the role belongs. This suggests that some form of a relationship can be made between the two tables.
Okay, I add here product, bar car, 100, quantity, and price, money. Execute. There we go. So we have just created sales transaction, which is our second table. I also have shown you some important things to know in forming relationships between two tables. And you were also shown the diagram how we want the two tables, the salesperson and the sales transaction tables, to relate to each other in this exercise. Now I will show you how to link the two tables that we have. First, let us ensure that the values in our reference keys are unique, meaning there should be no duplicates among the keys. So the code here is alter table salesperson add constraints. We call it AK salesperson unique salesperson ID. Okay, let's execute this one.
After we make sure that fields have unique values, any attempt to enter a value that has already existed in the table in this key column, the attempt will fail. So let us now define the relationship. We actually refer to this as a foreign key constraint on salesperson ID. I had copied the code earlier in the clipboard, so I will just paste it here. Okay. Try to execute this one. Once the relationship is defined, SQL Server ensures that values in salesperson ID in sales transaction table only contains values present in salesperson ID in salesperson table. With onDelete cascade, deleting a record in salesperson will also delete associated rows in sales transaction table. With onUpdate cascade, changing the value of a reference key in salesperson table It will also change the values of foreign keys in sales transaction table. Okay, before we proceed with the exercises, let us try to fill our two tables with meaningful data for further appreciation. Now we have already filled our tables with meaningful data. Let us do some T-SQL programming. Next, let us extract data from two tables. You might have guessed that if we are to extract data from two tables, we first have to get data from salesperson, then we get data from sales transaction, then we sort of combine data coming from two tables. The beauty of SQL is that we can accomplish this kind of extraction in just a single SQL statement. For example, let us extract all the products that were sold by every salesperson in the database. Here, I will also show you some nice features of SSMS. I have earlier typed the code for this exercise and saved it in the template browser. Now I just have to open up the file. So it's right here in SSMS. Here's the template browser. Click here. Open the file. There. Notice T1 and T2. In a select statement, you can assign an alias to a table in the from clause in the following format. Usually it's table alias. Then you may reference the table's field column in the following format. Usually it's in alias dot salesperson. Let's try to execute the code. Here we see a result where data were combined from the two tables, salesperson and sales transaction. You can see that the first and last name comes from the first table from salesperson, and the product column here comes from the second table, which is sales transaction. So that's pretty neat and easy, right? Further, let us preview the power of advanced T-SQL programming. Though the kind of extraction is a bit complex in the following exercise, this should demonstrate to you how an advanced requirements for data extracting can be quite easy to do using SQL. For example, I would like to determine the sum of quantity and total sales for each salesperson in the database.
But the results should be broken down by product. Quite complex, right? Let us see how the query would look like. So again, try to load it from template browser. Let's load extract from two tables complex. Here. First, we use group by, that we need to break down the data by first name, last name, product, and price. Then based on each of these, we compute for the sum of quantities sold and sum of total sales. Notice too that we are extracting data from two tables and we use the join keyword to combine the results of the two tables. Now let us try to execute the code. As expected, the result was broken into first name, last name, product, and price. And we have computed for the fields quantity and price. Quantity and price. Earlier, we tried changing a value of a field in a row from salesperson table. Now, how about changing sets? Imagine, for example, that as a store owner, I would like to change the prices of products. How about we change all the prices of products with prices having below $10? To add, how about I change the prices that when prices are $5 and below, we change it to just being $5. And if the prices are above $5, we put it at $10. How about with the preceding conditions met, everything else should be left untouched? If you come to look at the problem, it looks very complex. However, the beauty of SQL is that it has the capability of making things that are very complex look very simple. To demonstrate this, we can change sets of data based from the conditions we spelled out earlier. Let us see this by running three queries in a batch. The first one will show us the pre-update state of the values of the table that we are about to change. The second query should be our update query. And the third will show us the values of the table right after we have updated. Let us load from our template the query which I wrote earlier prior to this exercise. Okay, click this one. We'll open update sets of data. Okay, so this one is our first query. This is our second, which is the update query. And this is the third. Let's execute this one. Okay. Let's try to see. As you can see, the results have now changed. Notice the difference of the results produced by the first query and the third query. So this one is the result of the first query. This one is the results of the third. Notice the prices. You see here, it's already 5. There you go. In most cases, we usually want our results to be in some order for easy viewing and understanding of data. We can accomplish this by sorting the results of our query. Sorting can be done in most fields. One can sort names in alphabetical order or sort results from recent to oldest, or sort numbers from highest to lowest. In SQL, sorting results is easy. You can sort data by using keywords order by. In the following example, let us use some query we had a while ago. Okay, let's try to open that query. Let's load complex. There. In this query, we don't have an idea which column the result is sorted. But let us now assume that we want to sort the result from top salesman to the poorly performing one. Let us add order by to our query. Order by. The sorting should be done by total sales. We'll copy this one, paste it here, and then we want our sorting order to be in descending order. We type in here DSC. This one stands for descending order. Let's try to execute and see how the result would be like. Execute. There we go. Result is now shown, and we now see that the result is sorted by top total sales. We can see that Mark Zuckerberg has the highest total sales, and at the bottom is Larry Page with $15 of sales. Notice how easy SQL is, that we only add a couple of keywords to a complex query and we now have a better result. By now, we have already known some TSQL programming and most were for data manipulation. Now let us add a few more SQL stuff that is commonly done by DBAs or database administrators. This time, let us learn how to back up our database. So let's create a new query. Let's use our database sales. Then the statement for backing up a database is backup database, which is sales, to disk. Here we indicate the path, the full path name of where we want to back up our database. Storage sales DB backup that box. Let's try to execute this one. There we go. Backup database successfully processed 291 pages and so on and so forth. To check if we have successfully backed up our database, I'll try to open our Windows Explorer, go to Windows Storage, and here we are. So, we have just finished our course. For the recap, we now know what SQL is, and we have performed a series of exercises from doing object creation to data manipulation, and we've run scripts to perform common simple DBA work. To know more about TSQL, you can go to TechNet website or MSDN. There are tremendous amount of textual information about TransactSQL,
and Microsoft SQL Server in general and those websites. So that is all, folks, and thank you for signing in.